Blog Talk Radio.
To all of our listeners, you are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. And as you know, we have very special topics to go over this evening. Hello, Coach Foster.
Good evening. Welcome to the show.
There's lots to talk about that happened this weekend. And actually, as we are speaking, the Nats had a delayed game, and they just recently started against the Atlanta Braves, and it currently is, they just finished the first inning, and it is 1-0. It's the bottom of the first. So we'll definitely get back to the George Foster wrap-up of the scores, but this is real time of the Nats and the Braves right now because there was a huge, huge storm. So, in the news, there's certainly a lot to talk about. Let's go see what is happening and behind the bench for the MLB news. First, what are your thoughts, Coach Foster, about the draft picks?
Thus far, the draft picks have been successful for Minnesota and for the Texas Rangers. Those guys, Gallo's doing a great job, and the guy from Minnesota, he's one of the fastest guys in the game. It was exciting watching him play. And a lot of these ball clubs, of course, Bryant for the Cubs, a lot of these guys, ball clubs are taking advantage or made a great investment and great pick from these draft choices. That they're making a difference in the league standings.
That's certainly true. And I see certainly in the first round they had a lot of players that were in the first round from Vanderbilt, and they definitely are on top right now.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, they've been known to be a great athletic school and producing football players. Now they're starting to produce a lot of baseball players, and compliment to them being able to produce those players and other colleges around. Usually in the past it had been maybe Arizona or Texas producing those top players, but Vanderbilt starting to produce some great players.
Now, what are your thoughts as they go down the draft picks? There are a few players that are coming out of high school. One went to IMG, and they're sort of taking a different route, just as you took a different route as well. What are your thoughts on that and how to make sure you are bringing success for the parents and the players out there?
Some of these ball clubs rather get a player from high school so that it's they don't, in a sense, waste 4 years at college, because maybe their idea, philosophy of training is much different. But if they feel that player is ready as far as going into pro ball, that's not a bad idea. And most of those clubs, they're patient enough to wait maybe those 4 years as far as development. When they draft the college kids, hopefully have that player in the major league within a two-year period of time. So the clubs who did draft the high school kids, looking at the least 4 years for that kid to develop.
What do you think is better, to go the college route or to go to the high school route and going to a JC possibly and develop there and then going to the next step?
It all depends on the player and the organization. I would advise maybe a pitcher to stay longer in college to develop, but a non-pitcher, I would feel that it's good for them to get right into the organization, knowing their philosophy, their hitting, or their fielding, whatever philosophy they may have. But in a pitcher's case, they may be able to survive more so than the non-pitcher. And then with the change in coaches, that could influence the development of that player, and may not get a chance to play. But if you're drafted high and then you don't sign, then it's still, you have a great upside. But if you're drafted low, you're just taking your chance that you're going to get drafted higher later on. But like Ken Griffey Jr., he didn't go to college and went right out of high school. So it all depends on the player.
That's certainly true, and that's great advice. And there are those astonishing cases, specifically in football, where there's these players that didn't get in the first or even second round, and they got picked really, really late, and now they're top players because they didn't have that limelight flash or that pressure on them, such as Tom Brady or Russell Wilson. What is your advice to those who didn't make it or didn't make it as high as they thought they would? What would you tell them to do?
Once again, I would advise them to not be concerned about where they were drafted. It's the important part is getting drafted and getting into the system, because there's not a guarantee you will get drafted again or get drafted high or maintain your health out there, because you're rolling the dice and taking a chance. In football, usually the guy, or basketball, they decide not to get drafted, not to sign, they may take out a insurance policy so that if they do get hurt, they're guaranteed that a certain amount of money if they're not drafted higher later on. So it's just certain games that you need to, strategies that you need to know that's going to enhance your chances of having a good payday.
That's certainly true, and getting prepared mentally and physically, and just getting ready to make another comeback. Now back to our next topic, the controversial incident I'm sure everyone saw with the Nats and Tabata, with him, whether he leaned in or whether he intentionally wanted to get hit because there is going to be certainly a no-hitter. What are your thoughts about that play?
Well, as it turned out, it would have been a perfect game. It ended up being a no-hitter, but it had been a perfect game. Some umpires will call that the guy intentionally not try to get out of the way. But in this case, the umpire felt that the player was in his rights to be in that certain spot, attempting to get out of the way. But it's one of those hit-and-miss situations. Unfortunately, he called it a hit batsman, HBP, and the guy gets on base and you don't have a perfect game. The worst I have seen, the guy was throwing a perfect game and the umpire made a bad call at first base and not only lost a perfect game, but he lost his no-hitter.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And as you said, Tabata just said, I wanted to, quote-unquote, I wanted to get a hit. People don't understand that those were the instincts people have, and I wasn't looking to get hit. I just wanted a hit. I wanted to get on base. And Max certainly took the high road and didn't take offense or anything and just moved on.
It's just a game. It's not one that's going to – if it were the playoff game, World Series game that really meant a big deal – I mean, it meant something to throw a perfect game, but it's one of those situations that you can't control the outcome of it.
That's certainly true. And do you think they handled, or at least Max handled, the media properly?
Well, with the media, they're going to make it controversial. It's the same with the umpire. I think 2 years ago when he called the call the guy safe, and if they had the replay back then, they would have been able to replay it and show that the guy was out and the guy would have had a perfect game. And in this situation, but it was a judgment call, and I don't believe you're able to challenge a judgment call.
That's certainly true. On to our next topic with the Cubs, just to get your thoughts and your opinion, when it comes to keeping a player or trading a player, what sort of checklist do you think the manager and as well as the front office should go through to make a good decision on whether they should trade? And if this is the case, it's whether they should trade or keep Castro. But what mental checklist or even physical checklist should you go over to make sure you're making the right decision, especially right in the middle of the season?
Well, so number one is having a guy in your minor league system they feel that can take over and do a better job than Castro is doing, and also value what can Castro bring in return. So you don't want to literally give him away. You want to be able to get something of value in return. But having someone who can replace him at shortstop is the number one factor, and then number two is being able to get something that you need in return.
Those are certainly very key aspects. And do you think a lot of these organizations go through that, or they just go through what they may not make the right decision and go with what other people are saying?
Well, their decisions are made. Some are good and some are bad. But a guy like Madden, a guy like when he was around, Tony La Russa, they around with the Cardinals, they made sound decisions. Because they knew their farm system, they knew what they needed in return. So it may not turn out the way you want it to, but at least you have an idea what you need to do, and not just to move players. You're trying to improve your ball club.
Yeah, very very crucial, and those sound decisions to have a big impact. But that Joe Madden has a very good, solid base and knowledge of the game. Now we're talking about we're in the middle of the season. We're approaching All-Star break, July 10th through the 14th. And what are your thoughts about these big franchises who have to basically this late in the game change their game plan and go for a big trade or make some adjustments that they weren't planning during spring training, and just a complete turnaround? How do you, A, as a player, handle that, and B, as a manager, handle that?
Well, as a player, if you have a multi-year contract, and you know, it's a no-trade clause, you have some control there. But as a manager, you're trying to keep your job and try to do things that's going to help the ball club somewhat turn it around. Not guaranteeing it's going to win its division, but somewhat start to make some type of progress. But at this time, like with the Boston Red Sox, they're going to make moves, and a move could be that they're going to change managers. Like with San Diego, I just felt for a long period of time, Bud Black was there, and I felt not too many pitchers become good managers, and they have one, right. In San Diego, and of course they have one in Boston. So when he first came, had come to the Red Sox, team was ready to win, so it wasn't more so his influence. But usually a pitching coach does not know offense. So the Red Sox, number one, is going to start making some moves. I feel that Cincinnati Reds will make some moves, getting rid of try to trade Johnny Cueto or Chapman to get some pieces that's going to help their ball club. Not necessarily help them enough this year, but in the future.
That's certainly true. And this is the heat of the moment where ball clubs are making moves and having to make sound decisions. And a huge part of that is already established culture that was created within the teams. When you're playing, what was the dynamic like in within the ball club, within the players, that culture?
Well, it's that when I was playing, you didn't have that that guaranteed that you wouldn't get traded. You have to do what they either do what they ask, or you're going to, or go home. Like Kurt Flood, when he was traded a while back, he was the first guy that did not go, and he ended up losing his career. But you knowing that it's possible, so you're just being prepared for it. You know, there are 30 teams, or 29 teams, not including your team, that are out there. So you just look at the fact that you want to play Major League Baseball. Yeah, you want to play as long as you can with the team that you're on, but it's not a guarantee. But just get yourself mentally prepared for the chance of getting traded.
Yeah, and how significant is that culture, that merit-based culture produced by the manager, that team camaraderie, that sense that the manager produces? A lot of players say that Madden has a sound, very good culture that he creates amongst his players, and keeping it basic, allowing the players to just be themselves and not having strict boundaries, but also setting the tone where all players sort of have respect for each other.
Well, it's that word respect not only go from the player to the manager, but from the manager to the player, and then to some degree player to player. But the main thing is creating chemistry on that ball club and have some stability. With Sparky Anderson, he made sure that the guys who weren't starting were part of the game or felt part of the game. And that's a big key, because you want to make sure the guys who are on that bench, they may at one time want to go into the game. So you want to make sure that they're always prepared for that. And in Madden's case, he's gotten ahead of that winning reputation, so the players trust his judgment and trust in whatever decision he does make out there. So that's a big deal for a ball club, that the players trust the manager.
And certainly a big deal. And recently, in Sporting News specifically, they're talking about the Giants' merit-based culture and how he, like you said, the sound decisions, how he kept the concept of the sound simple and quote-unquote, not exceedingly, everything was simplified, and the decisions were based upon what he gives the team, how he can give the team the best chances to win that day, and not making things too complicated.
Well, it's the old saying, keep it simple and make basic rules and not to be too restrictive with players, and let them know what their roles are and expecting them to follow through with their roles. And you have certain guys that you delegate responsibility to with the Giants, or Posey, Cubs, right? Probably Rizzo right now, and maybe Castro, but more so Rizzo. So it's just, and Rizzo has encouraged him to set a good example, because it's going to be a challenge to not set a good example. Tell them what to do and you not do it yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure you can attest to this, but that sense of community, or that ability to keep it simple and go deeper than just the major leagues, and having that same sort of chemistry, that same sort of environment in the minor leagues, that's how some players are able to sort of grow.
Well, that factor is very important, because you want to be able to have a staff, a development staff in the organization that's going to have a continuity from the low ball on up to major league. The player feels comfortable, the player feels wanted, and you're doing something to help that player get to that next level. But coach or instructor needs to know. They have to be consistent in what they do. The guy go from single A to double A, has to be consistency there. You keep changing, that's going to cause that player to delay his development.
Yeah, it's certainly true. And these are all very interesting and great insights given by you. And we're now approaching the George Foster wrap-up. Who actually is the catalyst of the week that you saw?
Well, there were quite a few guys that are out there doing a great job. But we look, well, as a team, I would look at the, once again, the Toronto Blue Jays. They've been winning and playing great ball, and they're on the verge of catching teams that are in front of them. They come from nowhere to get to where they are now. And they'll also now look at Detroit. Of course, Cabrera is always swinging the bat well, but Cespedes is the guy that's doing a great job. He's swinging the bat very well, and he needs to because he's hitting behind Cabrera. That gives Cabrera more pitches to hit. So Detroit's starting to play better ball, and maybe the next week or so, or at least before All-Star break, they may overtake the Kansas City Royals to good of hitters to not be on top.
Yeah, certainly. And highlight plays that you saw that significantly stood out to you.
Well, the highlight had been Scherzer for the Nationals pitching.
Right, certainly.
No hitter there. And he did. I mean, they dominated the Pirates when the Pirates were in there. I don't think the Pirates didn't score that. Their batting average under 200. So
yeah.
Scherzer for the Nationals, the one that was very dominant and made a big difference. And not only did the Nationals play better ball, but that caused the Pirates to lose three in a row.
And specifically with the Nats, looking from the outside, this sort of up and down, fickle and up and down of whether they're doing well or losing, and not really having a consistent flow. What do you think the cause of that is?
That's the key word, being consistent. I feel they can't have too much pitching, but I feel they have too many starters on that ball club. And they're talking about Strasburg, maybe best that he get traded, because he feel the pressure when he goes out there to be the dominant pitcher. And with Zimmerman and with Scherzer, those guys doing a great job. Scherzer's Strasburg's case, it's going to be tough to be able to go out there and live up to the expectation. And they need to find out what type of game they want to have. It's a running game or pitching defense and playing for that one run. So they haven't found out what type of team that they do have or what type of game plan they want to have.
Right, and then they'll get balanced, sort of.
Right.
We've come to the wrap-up of the games for this evening, and, of course, this is the George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday at 9:30, and feel free to call in questions, comments. We love to hear. You can call in at 347-539-5397. It would be happy to hear from you. And currently, the Cincinnati Reds are playing against Pittsburgh. They're falling behind 7 in the bottom of the 6th. Right now, it's no out. As we said, Atlanta Braves in Washington are playing tonight. They had a massive delay, and they just recently started. And they are in the middle of the 3rd, and Washington is up 1-0. Currently, Detroit is up 7-1 against Cleveland. They're in the bottom of the 7th. Currently, there's 2 outs. And the L.A. Dodgers are playing against the Chicago Cubs. It's 0-0, bottom of the 6th, and there's 2 outs. And the final score with Toronto against Tampa Bay, Toronto fell to Tampa Bay, 4-3. And at 10:05 tonight, the L.A. Angels will play against Houston. And the 10:15, another late game, San Diego will play against San Francisco. So look out for those games. But, of course, you're listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. And we talked about having sound decisions, having that camaraderie, that sense of community and balance, and knowing what your role is. And again, thank you so much for listening. We certainly have covered all bases tonight. It's about the development, as always, the strength and the drive of an athlete. Signing off, this is Star.
And telling everyone that success only comes to one to continue. Success never comes to one who quits.
That's certainly true. Thank you so much, Coach Foster, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Have a great evening.
Good night, everyone.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps it over his head against the wall.